Look at the sixth chapter of Romans. Hallelujah. Start at the first verse. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Come on and give the Lord some praise.
Hallelujah.
Now, in the preceding chapter, we understand by one man's actions, death came upon us. All men died because of what the man Adam did. But now we find out that where the sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So we begin here and it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in this sin? Shall we continue walking in failing to hit the mark, going aside from the word of God so that this grace can continue to abound or build up or multiply? You know, because the reason why he's asking that is because some people will say, well, since I got forgiveness, let me go on and do what I want to do and act how I want to act, and then I'm going to try to slip in at the end. A lot of folks think that way. See, that's the mind of man. The mind of man tries to outthink God in the fact that he's going to outwork the word when the word is telling us. He's asking us, shall we then continue in sin that grace may abound? It said, God forbid, or let it not be. How that we that are dead to sin, if you are born again believer, you're supposed to be dead to it. Dead to sin. Not only that, how can you live in something that killed you in the first place? David said, I was born and shapen in iniquity. God let him see that he was born and shapen in iniquity, that he was born in death, and that he needed God to save him. We see that also that we need God to save us. That's why we need this grace. This grace that God has given us. What is grace? That undeserved favor that comes from God. You know, and then we got some people, they once again, the human factor enter into the praise and the worship. And we'll ask somebody how they're doing, and they'll say, I'm blessed and highly favored. Well, what are you saying when you say that? All right, what you saying that the grace that you have is greater than the grace that your brother and your sister has? You have to think about that. In the same way that we're all the anointed because we are part of the body of Christ, it doesn't matter what your position is. In other words, it's just like this body here. It's all temp. From the crown of his head to the top of the head to the sole of the feet. It all moves when I move. It all gets the blessing when I get the blessing. So it doesn't matter what position it's in. It's all one. It's the same thing with the body of Christ. Amen. We are all one in the spirit. It doesn't make any difference what position you occupy. You are the anointed of God. As Pastor so eloquently stated this morning, you are part of the anointed. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the word Christ means anointed. That's what it means. The word Christ means anointed. If Jesus is a part of your life, then you are the anointed one. In the same way the grace is, when God gave his grace, he gave an equal amount of grace to each and every one. So the grace that he gives me is not higher than what he gave Brother Rutherford, and what he gave Brother Rutherford is not higher than me. His grace is sufficient for all of us.
Amen.
See, we have to start thinking as one mind, one body, one unit. Why? Because that's the way Jesus is. Jesus is the head. He has connected himself to us. We flow up into him and he into us. We flow into him And he flows his gifts, his knowledge, and his power down into us. As we flow up into him with praise and worship, he flows down into us. And then we energize each other as being part of the body. Each joint supplies. Each member of the body supplies strength and joy and peace to everyone else. That is why it's very important that we come together. When the word says, fail not to assemble yourself, that's what it means. Why? Brother Rutherford and I were talking about, and he was talking about some things that I had been going through. And sometimes when you don't talk or when you go through things, you think sometimes you're the only one going through that particular problem. But then when you find out and begin to talk to other brothers and sisters are going through the same problems that you are, that feels makes you understand that you're not alone. You're not in this fight together, that you fight together. You don't fight against one another. Right. By this grace that God has given us, we're all one and we all flow together. And when we come together, we get stronger. Right. That's why it's important that you come to church. When you get the word that goes forth will strengthen you. The word that goes forth will enlighten you. The word that goes forth will heal you. The word that goes forth will empower you. The word that goes forth will bless your life. It will make you able to be strong to survive, because when you go out there, we outnumbered out there. You outnumbered. You going into strange places, and what I mean by strange places, places where God's not, they don't acknowledge him as Lord. Just put it like that. On your job, they don't acknowledge him as Lord. In other people's houses, they don't acknowledge him as Lord. So you taking the God that you know and you taking him into foreign land. And a lot of times, as soon as you walk in, you are under attack.
Yeah. Amen.
You are under attack. But by this grace that we have, we are able to survive the attack. Why? Because the grace of God is sufficient for us. Now, we can't allow ourselves to continue in the old nature. That's what it's saying here. God forbid how that we would... Second verse, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Understanding that we who are born again now have to kill the old nature that's in us. Let me tell you something. Pastor Gardner and there was another lady, she's gone on to be with the Lord, and were my mentors, my teachers, and a lot of these things. And that's when I first encountered about you having to die out to the old nature. But the thing about it is, only you can do it. A lot of people are trying to take it upon themselves that they can kill the old nature in you. That is your job. Only you can do that. Jesus had to kill that old man that was in him. Well, yeah, he had to do that when he was in the garden. Because after the eons of planning that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost had together, now he gets to this point where he's saying, Lord, if it be thou, let this cup pass from me. He knows the plan of God. He knows the will of God. Yet the old man rises up in him. Yet he puts the old man down. He says, so how can we that are dead, we who are in Christ, live in it any longer? Third verse. Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ, there's talking about Christ Jesus. We are baptized into the risen Christ. We are baptized into the Christ that is sitting at the right hand of the Father. We're not baptized into the Messiah. We didn't have any salvation into the Messiah then. He had to complete his work. Once he completed his work, now we can enter in. That's how the door was open to the Gentile. Because remember then, we were dogs. We were dogs. But even at that, God still made a way, because guess what? This grace that we have now, people that love God was able to find it even though it wasn't given unto us then. That's how great the grace of God is. And that grace has impacted each and every one of our lives so that we have the favor of God. Not to be lording it over our brother and sister. Once again, like we're more highly favored than the other one. It doesn't matter. Because I got on a Brooks brother suit doesn't mean that you went and got yours at K&G doesn't mean that I'm more highly favored than you are. See, people make that mistake. I'm blessed and highly favored. You're not blessed over your brother and your sister. We're one in the Lord. There's only one Jesus. There's only one. There's only one Jesus. There's only one Lord. It's only one Savior. And it's only one body. And we're all part of that body. See, the man is the one that wants to separate. The man is the one that wants to divide. God said, let there be no divisions among the body. We're all one. So we have to think as one. We have to pray as one. Whether, you know, like I say, sometimes you have to put up with those that, you know, not necessarily where you are. Jesus did it. None of us was where he was. And he came down here and communicated with his people. put his life on the line, and finally died for him. That's how much he loved us. By that same love, by that same grace, we have to show it unto others. Amen. We have to show it unto others. Amen. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. That word baptized means covered, made fully wet. We were buried in water. Water represents spirituality. We were buried in the Spirit. We were buried in the Spirit. We were buried in his Spirit. So that now we are together with him. We're together with him now. I don't have to wait to heaven to be together with him. I'm together with him now. I'm seated in heavenly places with him right now. As a man's thinking, so is he. That's why it's important for you to get into this word and begin to think like God thinks. Because once again, when you go out there in that world, you're going to face all kinds of attacks from the enemy. That's designed to sap your strength, to cause you to doubt God, to cause you to turn your back on him, to cause you not to show the love of God. But as by that grace, that when we all come together once again, we have that strength. We have that power and that authority. We are baptized, therefore, fourth verse, we are buried together with him by baptism into death. That's very important, because when Jesus died, that sinless state was frozen. It was frozen. In other words, that death state was frozen. He was locked in that state. So that sin was killed within him. He overcame the old nature on the cross. And then he was raised up by the power of God on that third day. And now, because of what he has done, we can now join ourselves when we accept Christ into our lives as his, as our personal Savior. We too are now in that state. We're in that state. Therefore, we don't have to allow. Now, what that means is the power of the old man, Adam, has been broken. Those chains have been broken. So we're free from those desires, from those old desires. Why? Because we have been baptized with him. That's why it's very important that baptism in water is more than just a symbolic gesture. It's showing that you are actually buried with him in his death. And that we have taken part of that death, and that death is a part of us. So that we are now dead unto the old nature, but alive unto God. Amen. So that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We are new creatures. All right. Yeah. New creatures. And understand something. We don't get so arrogant to say that, that we don't have the sin nature in us, okay? I'm trying to just make this plain to you. However, we're not bound by that old thing anymore. We are new creatures. You have to think in new thoughts and new terms. The only way you can do that is you have to, now that you are born again, begin to have your mind transformed by the renewing of the word. See, when you were born into the old, then you got a programming, a course of life on how you did things. You may have smoked. You may have drank. You may have cussed. You may have did a whole lot of things. You may have hated people. Now that you have this new life, you would get a new program. Now you have to learn how to love, how to get along with people, how to get along with the body, how not to separate yourself from the body, how to pray for each other in the body. You have a new program. That new programming comes from the word. That's how you're transformed by the word. You're transformed from what was old into what is now new by the word of God. That's why it's important for you to study the word of God on your own. God has something to say to you personally when you open the book. TV ministries are okay. But it's just like, eating. I put it like this. I'm a bachelor. So a lot of times bachelors don't know what's good because they don't know how to cook. Somebody could give them anything to eat and it'll taste good to them because they don't know how to cook. Once you find out how to cook, then you quit eating what everybody offers you because you find out it's not good. It's the same way with some of these TV ministries. Once you find out how God operates, his methods of operation, you're not going to be tuning into every TVN or whatever other station, because some of that garbage is what my sister, she got on to be with the Lord, called gumbo. Gumbo is good to eat as far as the New Orleans gumbo, that's good. When it comes to the gospel, it's got to be plain. It's got to be meat and potatoes. It can't be a mixture. Amen. A lot of folks are trying to eat and live off of a mixture of different words, and all it does is cause confusion in the body of Christ. It causes confusion. It causes disarray. It causes the churches to become separate, like one is better than the other. The anointing is, let me tell you something, anywhere the Lord is, there is liberty, there is his power, there is his glory. As long as the word is being preached in the power and being directed by God, everything that you have need of is in that particular place. It doesn't matter how big it is, doesn't matter how small it is, doesn't matter how many people in it. It says by where two or three are gathered together in his name, there is he in the midst of them. And when Jesus comes, he brings all of himself with him. He don't leave nothing out. He don't leave a part of himself over here where he said, it's more people over here, let me bring more of myself over here. No, he brings all of himself because he's all one God. Come on and give God some praise. Excuse me. Fifth verse. Romans 6 and 5. Let me take a drink. It says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We already have life, resurrection life now. Because the one who does the resurrection is in us. Amen. We have eternal life now. Let me tell you something. I begin to call on that eternal life this week. I'm telling Pastor God, my car has been down for the last couple months. And you talking about a trial. I'll tell you a little bit about it. We found this guy is a pretty good guy. Does good work, cheap prices. Well, he started doing such good business. Landlord raised the rent. Okay, he said, okay, no problem. She raised it times three. He said, I'm out of here. So he started doing it at his house. Well, the neighbors didn't like it. Started calling the cops on. So he had to kind of clean that up a little bit. So I take my car over to him, and he tells me I need a water pump. Okay, in my car, you got to take the part of the engine down because it's hooked up with the timing chain. I said, oh, Jesus, that's all I need to hear. I just got my radiator fixed. It took all summer to get the radiator fixed. Now I'm looking at a water pump. Lord, I'm in trouble. But the man worked with me. Okay, so he fixed it. Well, you know how water pumps are? They do refurbished water pumps. So the water pump blew out first thing. So I had to take it back to him. Take it back to him. I heard from him on December 8th. The first time I heard from the brother was last Sunday on Pastor's anniversary. Calling him every day, trying to find out where my car is. I'm going to get back to this, talking about this eternal life thing in a minute. Now I got to get to work, so I got to catch the bus. That means I've got to get up at about 4:30 in the morning to make sure that I get to work on time at 8 o'clock. Once I get to my destination, then I've got a 20-minute walk to the job site. Once I get to the job site, now that I don't have a car, I have to walk everywhere. My job is walking because you have to clean and do all these things. So I am walking all day. And even though I'm diabetic, and a lot of times that means the water nutrients depleted out of your body. So what that means is I started having muscle spasms. Now when I get off work, I've got that same 20-minute walk back to the place where I can catch the bus to go home. Muscle spasming all the way. Most of the time I'm asleep on the bus because I'm wore out. A lot of times I don't get home till 9 o'clock. You got to wind down, eat a little bit. I'm watching TV. Next thing I know, TV's watching me. And this has gone on for about 2 months. The last couple of weeks, the topper was right after Christmas. We had the big snowstorm. Well, you know how it is in Detroit. Once you had a big snowstorm, the buses quit running. So I get over on Van Dyke at 8 Mile about 7 o'clock. The next time I see a bus, it's about 10 o'clock. And I said, well, you know what? I'm not going to catch the east-west things. I'm catching that north and south because I know those things run. I walked in the door at 11:30 that night, day after Christmas. turn around, get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and get right back and go right back again. Muscle spasms started getting worse. So what that means, I'm starting to walk like this because you can feel them flashing all the way from my lower back all the way down to the near the top of my kneecaps. I started calling on God. I started claiming that eternal life that God's provided then. Couldn't wait anymore because I didn't know whether it happened once before where I was on the job and that muscle spasm, my back locked up and it put me in the hospital. I can't afford that. So I had to depend on the Lord. Lord, you got to touch me with that eternal power. That eternal power that saved me. I began to call those things that are not as though they are so that I could begin to walk and function. Let me tell you something. The power of God, the grace of God, that favor that God has gave us is able to be used in the circumstances of your life. It's not to just say, I've got the grace of God, but it's for your use. He's a personal God. He's there to help you. He's the love of God. The love of God is there to help you. Yeah, sometimes I got to crying and complaining, Lord, what happened to me? Because I didn't hear from the guy for so long. I didn't know what happened to him. I'm calling him every day about my car. Pastor's taking me over to the house. You know, we're calling the guy. Where are you at? He's not answering. Nobody knows. We would go over there on Christmas. The day before Christmas. His brother's there. You know, I talked to his wife. Nobody knows where he is. All they can say, he's going to get back to you. And I'm asking, Lord, what's going on? And I'm not getting any answer. And you still got to come in here and do ministry. Pastor was talking about, well, you don't sound too good. You can stay home. I said, stay at home do what? I said, you done fell down in a hole and bruised your legs up and preached. And now because I got a little crackle in my voice, you going to tell me to stay home? Are you kidding? Let me tell you something. This thing about God is it's all or nothing.
Amen.
It's a gut check. It's all or nothing with God. God has given us his ability, his power. You have to have the courage to use it. He said, be strong and very courageous. You have to be courageous in order to call upon the power of God. Because that flesh is telling you, no, why are you going to do that? It's going to give you reasons not to, or it might not work for you. It's talking to you while you're talking to it.
Right.
Now, the old Adam nature is dead, but you still have yourself to deal with.
Right.
A lot of folks don't acknowledge that one.
Yeah.
You still have yourself to deal with. That's why you've been buried into his death, so that Jesus, who dealt with himself, now is giving you the ability and the power to deal with yourself, with your thoughts, with your ideas, with your emotions. God has given us a plan so that we can, in the likeness of his death, we were in the likeness of his death, planted together, we should be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man is crucified with him. What does that mean? Crucifixion. Put to slow death. But to slow that means you're not. He's not. It's not like Dracula where you drive a stake into his heart and you turn to dust. It's not like that. He's staked out, but he's still alive. He's still got his thoughts and his ideas. The power of God is in there, but so is he. He's the one that tells you you can't make it. The devil don't know nothing about you. The head, the one who made the hedge is within you, and he is protecting you round about. That's why I don't have to worry about, let me tell you something. I don't worry about nothing. I don't have any fear. Now, I'm not foolish. There's a difference. I'm not going to talk about the power of God, and I'm going to go out there and stand, Brother Tony, in the middle of 7 miles.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's foolishness. But now if I have to get up in order to protect my job and get up and walk these streets in order to make it, then God will protect me. Why? Because God was the one, by his grace and mercy, that was the one that gave me the job in the first place. Now I might have to put forth a little bit more effort into maintaining it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as long as I'm willing to put forth the effort, God is willing to meet me.
Amen.
God will show you not only that, he will show you favor on your job. I was telling them they had got into my Paulette knows him. Guy's Catholic. And he likes to show his Catholicism, which doesn't mean anything. Because he'll talk about his Catholicism and then cuss you out in the next minute. Well, anyway, he was a situation happened. And Sometimes I do it all the time, so I guess it would trickle over to the job too. A lot of times, I'm getting better at it, but Pastor gets on because I cut my phone off. He can't get in contact with me. And it was on the job, sometimes I cut my radio off. And I'd be praising God all by myself, doing cleaning, whatever. And a couple of hours, I went up and turned the radio on. Well, this particular time, I didn't turn the radio on, so they called me on the phone. Like, who is this? I better answer. I said, well, maybe Pastor. Well, it was one of the bosses. He's talking about, well, you got to come over here right now. You got these notices to pass off. I said, well, I'm finishing this unit over here. You know, I'll be, he said, no, you got to do it right now. Okay, drop what I'm doing, go over there. When I get over there, everybody else is gone because it's 5 o'clock. They don't care. Once those notices have to go out, you have to pass them out. I get over there, I hear a bunch of yelling and screaming. And so they were in Amy's office, the head boss. And so I'm wondering, like, what's going on? And so the way this guy was yelling so loud, I didn't recognize who it was. So I asked, I said, does somebody need to go in there with Amy? Because I'm thinking it's one of the residents trying to jump on Amy. I'm like, no, ain't no man gonna stand up. Let me go in there. So that's not a resident. That's Mike and Lou. I'm like, what? That's Mike yelling like, I'm being disrespected and I don't like it. They're trying to take over my job and he's trying to do this thing. And I'm like, let me get my stuff and get out of here. So I go around and get my notices, and so I'm in the office, the back office, but you can hear it because her office is right next to it. And so I'm like, I got a chance to hear what they were arguing about. They were arguing about me and the fact that Lou called me and told me to deliver the notices instead of him. I really got my stuff and got out of there. I passed the notices out. When I got back in there, I said, hey, this lady named Kim, I said, Kim, are they still in there? She said, yeah. I said, good night. And got out of there. Okay. He took offense at that. Later on, I come by, we had a meeting. So now he wants to make every. See, the thing about it is, Lou makes himself available to everybody. Mike sits in his office. Okay? So you more apt to encounter Lou out there on the job site than you are Mike. Well, Mike taking offense at that because he's figuring everybody going behind his back. Nobody's going behind his back. You're not there. So we're dealing with authority figure is there. So he has a meeting. Lou's off. He wants to make sure everybody knows that. He's the boss and Lou's the assistant. No problem. Mean nothing to me. Okay, hey, I deal with whoever I have to deal with. I learned pretty quick. You obey them that have the rule over you, whether or not they be in error.
Right.
Amen. I learned that here. Because it's been plenty of time. We just tell the truth. Preach the word. Preach a good word. They didn't like what you was preaching. You was on the bench. You on the bench. One time, priest, I didn't get off the bench for a whole year. But the thing about it is, even in the midst of that, you still have to keep a good attitude. You still have to do the things of God. It doesn't matter whether you get up here to do ministry. When you are, wherever you are, you do ministry. You do the servitude because we are servant. The first thing we are, we're not prophets. We're not apostles. We're not pastors or evangelists or teachers. We are servants. That's what we are. We're supposed to serve God. And by serving God, that means you have to serve your fellow man. I was asking God, Lord, I know that I had good jobs. Why am I still here? God said, you here to serve. I didn't want to hear that. I'm honest. I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to hear something else. Lord, I want you to get me out of here. That's what I want. But God says he just said, I want you to serve. So what are you going to do? As a good steward over not only the money, because they talk about stewardship and money, but over his word. We have to be good stewards over his word to perform his word in all situations and all under all circumstances. Let me get back to Mike. So he's explaining he's the boss. Okay. And that because he shows favoritism, does somebody a favor, that doesn't mean that he likes them more than anyone else. So I'm sitting there, and then he said, yeah, see, just because I didn't happen to fire this guy who don't have a car right now. That don't mean I'm showing him favoritism. I'm like, wow. I begin to thank God. I begin to thank God because that's one of the conditions of the job. You had to have a car. Now, I don't have one. Now, the thing of it is, like I was telling God, you don't know when things, certain things might happen in an instant. He called me in the office one day, and he asked me, would I be willing to do snow service? I said, yeah. Bible says, greet your adversary. Now, snow service means like on a Saturday or a Sunday, if they get a big snow, they call you in, you got to go out there. He know I don't have a car. He know there's probably no way for me to get out there to do it. But I said, yeah, I agreed with him. That might have went into the factor of me keeping my job. See, you never know. That's why if you follow the word will preserve you. Stand in the grace of God, it will protect you. Amen. When you get out of it, you're on your own.
Right.
You're on your own.
Amen.
So we get back to, what's the name? So we find out the man's been in jail for the last few months. That's why I wasn't been able to get into contact. Got in contact with him last week and last night. Hopefully I'll have my car back in the next couple of weeks. But in the meantime, I still have to call upon God because, like I say, by me doing all of that extra walking and all that extra activity, it started putting a cost on my body, and I had to begin to call on God to make it. I had to call on God so I could walk because the pain, if you have muscles locked, trying to lock up on you, it is, the pain is unbearable. It is unbearable. And you know, you think, well, how do you get to this position? And how do, and you know, and then you have to tell yourself, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you got to that position. You're in it. You've got to deal with it. It doesn't matter once you get into it, is that you have to remember that God is there to help you deal with those situations. It doesn't matter what they are or when they come, that you are able. Why? Because you have the power of God. Don't get lost in what could have been or what should have been. You know, we have that ability to do that. Well, this happened to me because of so-and-so, and we can create a whole different scenario on how it happened and why it happened, and it shouldn't have happened, and Lord, why it happened to me, and all of these type of things, and all you're doing is wasting time when you could be giving God some praise. Now, let me tell you something. Don't think that I didn't have some of them crying moments, okay? I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that it didn't happen. But what I can tell you is this. I did stop it, and then I said, okay, Lord, I complained enough, and now I know that you're standing up here like this with your fingers in your ear waiting for some praise. So now it's time to give you some praise. Now I'm going to tell you how good you are. Lord, that I can't make it without you. Even in the midst of this pain, I'm going to praise you. Lord, I don't like the way this body's acting. I'm going to praise you. Lord, I ain't had no answer about my car in 2 months. I'm going to praise you. Lord, I know you're the author and the finisher of this thing. I'm going to praise you. You're still the lily of the valley. You're still the bright morning star. You're still my preserver. You're still my healer. You're still my king. You're still the king of glory. I don't care what I'm going through. I'm going to give you praise. I know you're my way out, so I'm going to give you praise. That's what the grace of God will do for you. Knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. You hurry up. The body of sin. Sin has a body. It has a mindset. That's why when you go out, you don't even have to tell them who you are or that you go to church. They will begin to attack you because the flesh recognizes the spirit.
Hallelujah.
It will devise all kinds of little plans for you to try to trip you up, to try to see how far you into this thing with God. One young man told me, yeah, I wish I could have seen you before you got saved, you know, what you were like. Why would you want to see that? Why would you want to see that? Then I begin to tell him, I'm not a finished product. It's the word of God that keeps me. I said, I admit it, I had a temper problem. You know, I could kind of snap there a little bit. God had to help me with that. I keep it under by the power of God. Now, stuff don't bother me anymore. I learned from Pastor Gardner. You don't take stuff personal. I learned that. I learned that here. And I took what I learned here and applied it out into the outside world so that when people say stuff and do stuff to you, I just look at them and move on. look at them and move on. It doesn't matter. The Pharisees, who called themselves the religious of their day, they always had something with Jesus. Jesus would talk to them, and when he got done with them, Jesus moved on and went to heal the next person or preach to the next person. He didn't worry about what they did. What he did say was make sure that you don't get caught up in their mess. Don't get caught up in folks' mess. Whether it's on the job, don't get up, caught up in folks' mess at home. Stay within that grace, knowing that our old man is crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve it, not be enslaved to our emotions and our feelings, because you can get lost in those things. It's easy to get lost in your feelings and your emotions when you're going through things, when you're not hearing from God, because a lot of times we want to hear from God right then and there. And like I say, sometimes God, you know, I think he knows what we made of. He wants to see if we know what we're made of. Do you know who you got in you? Do you know who is with you at all times? Do you know that he never leaves us or forsakes us, even when you can't feel it? That was another thing I learned to get over. I quit worrying about if I could feel the goosebumps, the shimmy and the shake. Now, don't get it wrong. Y'all know me. I love to dance before the Lord. I love to shout, but it doesn't matter. I understand, because he has taken up his abode within me, that it doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what's going on, that he is there with me. And I can call God forth. I don't have to call him down. I call God forth because he is there with me wheresoever I go. Seventh verse, for he that is dead is free from sin. In the same way that a dead person is freed from all kind of credit and all kinds of stuff like that, when you are dead, you are free from sin. You're dead to the old nature, you're free from sin. Eighth verse, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. He died once. His death was sufficient. He was the perfect sacrifice. So he only had to die that one time. He don't have to come back. These folks looking for Jesus to come back. The only time he's coming back is to get his church. He's coming back to get his church. I was informing these folks they worried because the Mayans. So what you worry about that for? A girl go in. I said, I just told him, I said, you know, I'm born again. I don't believe that. Well, you're the devil. I said, excuse me, devil ain't got no pop. I said, let me tell you something. The only, when this world ends, is because the creator of this world says it's time for it to stop. Nobody else got to say so over this thing. Everybody pronouncing this and pronouncing that, and they're on the history channel. Don't get caught up in that mess. Don't get caught up in it. Don't get caught up in these false doctors. Now, I'm just telling me, because me, some people can look at that stuff and it doesn't affect them. Me, when I look at that stuff, I began to get angry. So guess what? I don't look at it. That's why I don't have to get angry. It's simple. When they say that foolish stuff, I go to the Word. That's what we live by. That's what we move by. That's where our power and our authority and our strength is in the Word. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We believe that Christ has saved us and that he is raised from the dead. And that he says go come back. So I believe that I'm alive with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead died no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Death has no more dominion over him. The state of death and the old nature has no more dominion over Christ. He's not a slave to it. He holds the keys to death and hell. He holds the keys to that. Therefore, I'm not scared of death. If I have to leave here before he comes back, I'm not scared. Amen. I'm not full of fear because I have the faith of God, the ekpistis, living principle of faith in my life, and God is greater than anything that can come up against me. I don't care. A lot of saints leave here, they're going to call because they left here with cancer. So what? It don't make no difference. God's power is still great.
Amen.
Still great. They left here with a heart attack. So what? That's trying to, the old man trying to show something, or you know, like they had it all. They lived a victorious life. No matter how you leave here. Says the Bible says it's given unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. So don't be afraid of that. Knowing that when we leave here, Christ holds the reins. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. This is the key here. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to the old nature, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You have to think this thing dead. This thing has, in other words, you have to notice it first. You notice it by the word of God. God points it out as far as telling you about the old nature, about flesh. You have to notice it. You have to accept it. A lot of folks don't want to accept it because that means they have to look in the mirror. God gave us this thing so that those, even as hell enlarges itself, for those that don't want to acknowledge the word of God, that means it won't be any of us. The word of God is true. It's true. Amen. Likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead under the old nature, to self, but alive under God through Jesus Christ. I'm alive under God through Jesus. I came through Jesus. I have his mindset. I have the mind of Christ. Yeah. Right. I have the mind of Christ. It is in there. All I have to do is allow it to operate. I go into the word and feed that word, and that word will operate. That word will tell me I can live when it's time for me to die. That word will cause me to stand upright when things are spinning around. That word will stabilize it. Why? Because it's the rock. It built everything. The worlds and creation, the universe was built on that word. Time, I was telling Johnny that time and space itself was built by that word. Anything that can do that can keep you. Anything that can do that can save you. Anything that can do that can heal you. Anything that can do that can preserve your life. The power of God, it is unlimited. The only limit is up here. That's the only limit. That's why we have to begin to think like God thinks. If I begin to think like God thinks, then these things don't bother me. Begin to push them aside. I begin to push the old nature aside, what I feel and think. 12th verse, we almost finished. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the desires thereof. Let not sin, let not yourself reign in your mortal body, in this body here. Don't let it reign. Don't let those old thoughts and those ideas reign. Don't let your emotions reign. God begins to use you, and then all of a sudden you hear that they don't like you. Don't matter whether they like you or not. If God called you to a position, you don't stand before God if you don't do what God called you to do. I don't worry about folks now. Like, man, when I first got preaching, folks were telling me all types of folks, man, they didn't like what you said. They were telling me that all the time. They didn't like what you said. One got up and said, I was stern. Introduced me as stern. And you know what? It kind of got to me. So I went to the Lord about it. I said, Lord, they say I'm stern. And I heard the Lord say, son, I said, yes, Lord. He said, you love me? I said, I sure do. You preach what I tell you to preach. Ain't ask God no more about what they said. Because guess what? I understand, too, that if I don't, as God's messenger, deliver what he gave me to deliver, then I'm going to stand before God. And I don't want no blood on my hands. Amen. I don't want no blood on my hands. That's why when I get up here, believe me, I didn't ask the Lord, what do you want me to say to your people, God? They ain't my people. I may be an associate pastor in this ministry, but these are your sheep, Jesus. Amen. These are your people. They belong to you. They don't belong to me. Lord, I belong to you. I'm your servant. Yes. Therefore, I want to please you in what I'm doing. Amen. Now, it may not please everybody what they're going to hear. It may not please them. But if we get them saved and to get them in the kingdom, that's all that counts. Amen. That's all that counts. Amen. See, you know, it's just like football. Someone like to go back and they like the long, nice throw pass that looks so pretty when they score the touchdown. And some people got a sidearm sling. It looks nasty. But as long as the ball gets caught and gets in the end zone and you score the touchdown, that's all that matters. As long as souls are coming into the kingdom, that's all that matters. Yeah. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments unto sin. Don't yield your instruments. Don't yield your hands to it. Don't yield your feet to it. Pastor was talking about the mouth. That's one of the more important members. Don't yield your mouth to it. Don't yield your ears to it. In other words, you can stop a lot of gossip that goes on by just stopping the conversation. Pastor knows this. I'm going to tell some of it. I was talking to an individual, and all of a sudden they begin to talk about my pastor. Here, it's not true. I don't believe it. What? I don't believe it. I don't care what you say. That's my pastor. I know him personally. Okay? I don't want to hear it. People want to say this and that. He preaching a false word. Show me in here he preaching a false word. They had folks do that. Examine what they said. When they came back and I examined it, I said, I find what my pastor has been saying lines up with the word of God. I find out that this other individual, it does not line up. What? It don't line up. In other words, you stop the mouth. Now, I don't mean I have to get into a brawl and everybody yelling and screaming. No. Just say, no, I don't agree with it. And walk. It's over. Don't yield your instruments, your works, your walk, your hearing as instruments of sin to perpetuate the old nature. Because other you may have yours under subjection, but other people may not have theirs under subjection. And you can stop a lot of the division that goes on in the church by stopping those little things that go on.
Amen.
But yield yourself unto God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of weapons or instruments of righteousness unto God. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of the stronghold. The first stronghold I have to pull down is in my own life. I've got to pull down what I think and what I feel, and I allow the power of God. I bring my imagination and all of my reasonings under the word of God. I have to study the word of God to find out that God is not interested in my emotions. He don't care about what I think. Now, he loves me, but he don't care about what I think and what I feel when it comes to his word. His word is supreme. I was brought forth by that same word. Therefore, I have to obey that word in all things. Therefore, I can't mistreat any member of the body of Christ. I have to use my instrument as instruments of love. Instruments of joy, instruments of peace, that the body of Christ might edify itself. See, the whole body is supposed to grow. Now, only God determines how fast it grows. But it's supposed to grow. We grow together as one unit, one power, one authority, under the authorship of Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. But we grow in this grace. And I'm closing with this. For sin shall not have dominion over you, but ye are not under the law, but under grace. Ye are not under that law that Paul saw in his members that wars against his mind, but we are under the grace. We now have the ability not only to serve God with our mind and our spirit, man, by bringing, letting the word have precedence in our life, we have the ability now to serve God with our flesh. We have that ability now to serve God with our flesh. Why? Because the word of God, once again, it's mighty through God to the pulling down of the stronghold. And once I align my thoughts and ideas with God, he reigns supreme in my life. Therefore, I can nullify this. See, that's what he wants to do. He wants to annul this, to make it not useful. In other words, that it can't hurt anybody anymore, that it can't harm anybody anymore, but that it can only help. The love of God and not the hate come forth. The peace of God and not the confusion come forth. The joy and long-suffering and all of those things that are part of the nature and character of God come forth out of your life. That's what the grace of God is all about. Come on and give God some praise. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself. In other words, God gave us the grace and the faith. He did it all. Now we have something to do with it. We have to believe him. We have to act on it. But he gave us all the elements for that life. Come on and give God some praise.
Amen.
for everybody to come down front.